Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on responding to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
This week we've been looking at how to refute the Jehovah's Witnesses' claims that Jesus Christ is a created being. There are several passages to start for today's study that shows the importance of honoring Jesus Christ in the same way that we honor the Father. Jesus himself said this in John chapter 5 and verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So Jesus said that we need to honor or worship or give reverence to him, the Son, just in the same way as we do the Father. Also, to support this claim, God the Father himself has said this in Scripture. In Hebrews 1 verse 6, it says this, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." That's God the Father calling all the angels to worship the Son. Also in verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, "But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of your kingdom." So the Father himself honors Jesus Christ, calling all the angels to worship him and calling him God. W.H. Griffith Thomas wrote this in his book, Christianity is Christ. "There is no middle path, for no intermediate position has ever been found tenable. Jesus Christ is either God, or else he is utterly undeserving of our thoughts and regard." The Jehovah's Witnesses want to teach that Jesus Christ is a created being, and in their translation of the scripture called the New World Translation, they have translated verses to take away from the deity of Jesus Christ. And one of those is Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where they've inserted the word other 4 times in their translation. And it reads like this, "By means of him all other things were created in the heavens and upon the earth, the things visible and invisible, no matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all other things, and by him all other things were created or were made to exist." 4 times the words other is inserted because they teach that Jesus Christ had a beginning. And so they added to the scripture. Now they want to claim that adding the word other makes it more smooth in its reading and understandable. But the problem is that it drastically changes the meaning of the passage, because the scriptures read this way, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." So the scriptures there show that Jesus Christ created everything, showing that he could not be a created being, and that he's before all other things, meaning that he had no time, no beginning. Now, even in their translations, they did put the words other in brackets, showing that it's not part of the original. And their translations up to 1950, to confuse people and also to deceive people, did not even put the words other in brackets. But then when pressure came from evangelical scholarship, they had to add the bracket showing that it was not part of the original. The New World Translation is a perversion, not a translation of the scripture. Bruce Metzger, a top scholar in the field of Bible translation, says this about the New World Translation. He says, "It is a frightful mistranslation, erroneous, pernicious, reprehensible." Also, Charles Lee Feinberg, another scholar, says this about the translation of John 1:1. "I can assure you that the rendering which the Jehovah's Witnesses give of John 1:1 is not held by any reputable Greek scholar." The New World Translation has mistranslated this passage to try and teach that Jesus Christ is a created being. That's to get away from the clear fact that the Bible says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 44, verse 24, that God himself, or by himself, created all things. It reads this way, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself." So God claims that he is the one that has created things by himself. He had no help. So when it comes to Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, and it says that Jesus Christ created all things, it is proof positive that he is God, not a created being, not less than the Father, but the eternal God. The very first verse of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," bears this out. So the Jehovah's Witnesses have mistranslated Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, purposely to try and present their doctrine that Jesus is a created being rather than letting the scriptures speak for themselves, which show that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Another passage we'll deal with is Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is the way the New World Translation renders this verse. And you, O Bethlehem, the one too little to get to be among the thousands of Judah, from you there will come out to me the one who has become ruler in Israel, whose origin is from early times, from the days indefinite. And once again, they translate the phrase, whose origins are from early times, trying to show that Jesus was a created being, that he had a time when he did not exist. Now, if you read this verse in a good translation of the Bible, it reads, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And this is a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ is eternal, not that his origins are from early times, but are from old, from ancient times. The phrase from old here is the same phrase translated in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, speaking of Jehovah to describe his eternal existence. Surely this phrase cannot be applied to Jehovah and say that he had a beginning. Also, the phrase from ancient times communicates the idea of immeasurable times. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, who wrote a commentary on the scriptures, refers to these two phrases as speaking of the strongest assertion of indefinite duration of which the Hebrew language is capable. So those two phrases together are repeating themselves and trying to show that Jesus Christ has existed indefinitely. There is no beginning in him. So Micah chapter 5, verse 2 shows that Jesus Christ is eternal. Another verse that we'll look at is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, which reads this way, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so when we come to this passage, it refers to Jesus as Mighty God. He is the child that has been born to us, a son that has been given. Now, when you use this passage to speak to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will say, well, that's a reference to Jesus as being Mighty God, but Jehovah is the one that is Almighty God. This issue is easily solved. All you have to do is turn one chapter over to chapter 10 and verse 21, where Jehovah himself is called Mighty God. The passage reads this way, "The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the Mighty God." And that's a reference to Jehovah of Israel returning their hearts to him. And then also in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, it refers to Jehovah once again as Mighty God, and this time as reference to the fact that he is the Creator. The passage reads this way, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God whose name is the Lord of hosts." So Jehovah is also referred to as Mighty God, showing equality that Jesus, the one that was born, the son that was given to us, is Mighty God. This shows that he is on the exact same footing as Jehovah God. Now, there's two other passages that you may want to use as you're there in the book of Isaiah, which show that Jesus Christ is equal to Jehovah. A great passage is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. This is a passage that's quoted in John chapter 1, verse 23 of John the Baptist. It reads this way, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This is a passage that John the Baptist quoted about his ministry, and he was preparing the way for the Lord, and that was obviously a reference to Jesus Christ. Now, interesting enough, in the Hebrew, the word Lord in verse 3 is the word Jehovah. And so John the Baptist said he is preparing the way for Jehovah God, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, a direct reference to Jesus Christ being God. Now, the other passage that I saved for last, because I think it's the best one, and in my witnessing with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've never been able to come up with an answer other than, well, I better go back and study that. And that is Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. And I usually preface this by asking them, if I could show you a scripture that shows that Jesus Christ is referred to as Jehovah in the Old Testament, will you believe that he is God? And then I turn them to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, which reads this way. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. Then I stop and I ask them, who's the King of Israel? And they'll say, well, that's Jehovah God. And then the rest of the verse reads this way, and his Redeemer. Then I ask, now, who's the Redeemer? And they'll say, Jesus. And then the next phrase calls him the Lord of hosts. And so here that word Lord in both places, referring to the King and referring to the Redeemer, is the word Jehovah. So it refers to the Father as Jehovah God, and it also refers to Jesus, the Redeemer, as Jehovah, a direct reference showing that Jesus Christ is God. And then the rest of the verse, it says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. So here is a direct and very powerful reference you could use when discussing the deity of Jesus Christ with the Jehovah's Witnesses, because it calls the Redeemer Lord, it calls the King Lord, both translation of the word Jehovah, and then it says, besides me, there is no God. So there are a few references that you could use when dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses to prove to them that Jesus Christ is not a created being, that there is not a time when he did not exist. He has existed throughout all eternity as the eternal God. Use these scriptures. Defend the faith. Be ready with that defense when anyone would try and claim anything other than Jesus Christ, other than what the truth of the Bible says of